Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Welcome to Becoming Heisenberg. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Breaking Bad on AMC and Netflix. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How's it going?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Excellent. This is season 3, episode 12, Half Measures. It's the penultimate episode of season 3. What did you think?
I really like this episode. I think it's sort of interesting. I've forgotten they reintroduced Wendy at this point. It's got some wonderful moments in it following up from sort of last week's stuff as well, and I just haven't remembered any of this, so I was nice kind of going back to watching it again and being pleasantly surprised at sort of how everything played out. I sort of remembered little bits of the Hank and Marie story, so that sort of thing, and I remembered a little bit about the conversation Jesse has about poisoning and that sort of stuff, but it's really I hadn't remembered the Gus scene in this one, so it's just really good, and I think covers a lot of great things. You get to see a different twist to Walt as well, so overall really solid episode, I thought, this one.
Absolutely. There's certain episodes of Breaking Bad that do just stand out that little bit more. They're all great. Mm-hmm. All of them. Some people would debate Fly episode, but we've talked about that already. but there's other episodes that just bring out that excellent part of Breaking Bad. And this is one of those. You can kind of tell when it's doing that as well, because it just has those different, those sort of elevated moments. The run moment, I thought it was brilliant. I was sort of realizing it was coming up as it was playing out in the episode. It's funny we keep, for like episodes 11 and 12, and I'm going to guess for episode 13, I can remember what happens in 401, but not what happens in 3, 11, 12, and 13. It's interesting, because it's sort of the post-Fly episode, our memories have gotten a little bit foggy of the show. Obviously, that's not the purpose, is to remember it. It's just that's an interesting part of all of this. We're not required to remember the episodes.
which is cool as well. But no, it's brilliant. There's lots and lots of great stuff. The Hank moment is great. Jesse doing what he's doing is very intense and really good. Skyler getting more involved again is really great as well. I'd sort of forgotten about the Wendy part as well and how she sort of got involved. And yeah, little bit more Heisenberg seeping through in this episode as well. And
Yes.
yet again, as always, Gus always delivering some really great dialogue. Is that the first time he met Jesse? I think it
I
was.
yeah, because Jesse's been complaining up until this point about the fact that he hasn't met the sort of big guy. So yeah, I think it must be.
Just to note as well, well, if you've viewed this podcast, I suppose, or clicked on it, the picture I chose for this week was it's Jesse and Gus kind of standing off. And Gus walks in the background, but he looks really small. And I just thought that painted an interesting picture because of what happens in that scene. And him kind of being that quiet Walt was quite interesting. So yeah, lots and lots of really great stuff in this episode. And as I said, the run moment at the end. I remember that being particularly standout the first time I saw the show, and I was like, you know that those moments that just pack that a little bit more of a punch. It was sort of one of those, so that was great as well. So yeah, another really, really good episode, and obviously sets up the finale brilliantly as well. And I can't remember if or when Gus finds out about this and what he does. I remember what he does in season 4, episode 1, but that's the episode after the next one. So anyway, we'll go from there. All right, so what we got for the pre-talk and stuff, we've got the recap and housekeeping, so let's crack on with that. All right, I'm going to mention it at the top instead of at the bottom. Just another quick reminder, apparently it is working, so I'm going to continue to do it. Classic Review season 6 coming soon. That's going to be later in December, around about Christmas time. So look for that, but you can also check out 5 seasons and a bonus season of that. I don't feel like I need to explain what I do for that podcast is reviewing classic stuff. That's hence the name. So, but a few more of you have sort of slowly been checking out more episodes, so that's really, really great as well. But yeah, 5 seasons and a bonus season, so have a look for that. And you don't need to go from season 1, episode 1 to whatever. You can just pick and choose whichever episodes you want from that. Over on the Diabolical 7 last night, I did season 1, episode 4 of Gen V. So that's the latest of that. We're already halfway through that season, but of course, they released 3 episodes at once. So there's 8 episodes of that, and we're already up to episode 4. So that's been very good. Over on Gaming Talk this week, we talked about Call of Duty Next, which they did like a. They basically did a live stream to kind of tell you what was new, but also repeatedly let you know that the movement's changed and that the classic maps are back. It was a odd live stream, but the live stream was to sort of tell you what's next for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, because the beta starts later today. They did the same thing last year, and then, you know, we'll get 2 weekends of the beta, and then the full game's out on the 11th of November. So talked about all that. Spider-Man 2, which is out very soon also, on the 20th, so about 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks from today actually. Yeah, Spider-Man 2 is out. They put out a new cool little like story trailer with Miles Morales, Peter, and Venom. So we talked a bit about that, and we also talked about Last of Us Factions 2, which is the multiplayer game, the sequel to the first one, or the new version. It's on ice, as they said. So we talked about lots and lots and lots of different elements involved in that as well. The microtransaction person from Naughty Dog has left as well, so there's some interesting elements at play. It's not quite as, you know, black and white as you might think. So there's that. Over on United Cast, we're doing well, but we can't seem to stop letting in goals. It's an interesting scenario. We lost 3-2 to Galatasaray in the second of 6 Champions League games. We're not out of the competition yet. We just have to get some more points, but we need to hurry up. Rasmus Højlund grabbing 2 more Champions League goals. He played very, very well as our new striker. But we just can't stop letting in silly goals, particularly silly goals where we're just doing bad stuff. So that was that game. And we play against Brentford tomorrow, so we'll see what that's like. did a podcast called Experiencing Toy Story 1 on the Big Screen, which is what I've explained there. So they had a event called Disney 100, and they've been slowly releasing some of their old films. I think they're only doing once a week for each film. But Toy Story had its chance, and that was actually the first time I saw that on the big screen, because I was very, very, very young when that first came out. So that was really, really cool. That's not a review for that film. That's just talking about how nice it was to see that on the big screen, and pointing out just certain moments and that kind of stuff. So that was nice to do. We also lost 1-0 to Crystal Palace in the Premier League as well. So that was annoying. On Gaming Talk from the week before, I talked about EA FC 24 is doing a gender mix thing. Of course, women's football is becoming a bigger thing now, which is great. But they are finding a way to creatively put the men and women on the same team, but in the ultimate team. So it's like the fantasy ultimate team thing. So that's quite cool. Jim Ryan is retiring. He's the CEO of PlayStation. He's retiring in March. So we talked about that and some Call of Duty stuff. And that is, yeah, that's pretty much what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Got a quick cold open with Wendy, a bit of a montage of her doing her work, but it ends with Jesse watching the particular spot that she's at, which is that the famous corner now where two things end up happening. Obviously, one's later on in the episode, but it's the corner where Combo was killed, and Jesse's been trying to investigate it. We saw the end of last episode when he handed over. Made a deal on the corner basically and realized what was going on, but yeah, he's got the idea. He comes up with the idea, and we'll speak about it in a scene shortly, to try to get her involved a bit and to find out kind of what's going on and stuff, which this is sort of a continuation of the end of last week. It's very quick, there's not much, but we haven't seen Wendy since, I don't remember seeing her this season. Maybe like start of last season, I think we might have seen her last. So
season 2, yeah. So it's been 22 episodes apparently since we last saw her.
Oh, wow. Okay. But yeah, it's there's not a ton to talk about here, but this is a good sort of setup for what's coming up later. Any thoughts on the cold open?
No, other than I kind of forgotten that they bring Wendy back and how she fitted into this, but yeah, I mean it's quite a good way of getting her in and using that character again. It sort of makes sense that Jesse would do that, put her in that position. So yeah.
Skylar then pushes Walt to accept her plan, excuse me, of laundering his drug money through the car wash. There's a lot more that kind of is in here as well. They go, I think this is the same scene, isn't it, when he's negotiating how many nights per week he comes around for dinner, and he's trying to get himself back into the family and stuff. Yeah. They have a long conversation about everything, because obviously the initial thing was more Skylar disagreeing with Sol than Walt. Walt was kind of fine with both options in a way, or he didn't sort of seem to mind which option. But she puts again a very good case across in terms of. Again, it's about buying, okay, what are people going to believe more? Walt buying this car wash, which he used to work at, or this random, seemingly random laser tag?
Yes.
You know, this 50-something, however old Walt is, your old man, but randomly buying a laser tag and doing the thing there. It was, yeah, I think there's a, the interesting part is that there's a clear kind of difference between the two of them.
Yeah.
But it's also, again, about, you know, Skylar was doing the bookkeeping before and things like that. So that's how she's trying to get in there as well. I thought the, let's call it dinner arrangement conversation was an interesting one as well. I didn't remember that was in the episodes at all. I couldn't remember, in fact, how he sort of not got back in good with Skylar, but sort of, well, got further than, let's say, having a door shoved in his face.
Yes.
Know? And this is sort of the method as to how that happens. So an interesting little bit of clash between the two of them, but they come to like an agreement eventually. The interesting part later is, of course, he does get one of those nights at dinner and he has to actually leave because of what he suspects is sort of going on. But
yeah,
we'll talk about that later. Any thoughts on the Skylar and Walt conversation?
I mean, I like the sort of negotiating backwards and forwards, as sort of, he wants six nights or five nights or seven nights or something, and then she's kind of negotiating him down with it. So that's quite cute, the way that that's written, and the back and forth between the pair of them. I thought that was quite good. And I mean, the whole setup for this, I mean, she is right. Skylar's entirely right that if it was some random person and you're just trying to fool the tax office, then on paper it would be perfectly reasonable. The problem is that Walt has to sell this to the family. And Skyler's very, very concerned about it being squeaky clean. And I think in this situation, there are sort of both kind of right. If it was a normal situation, then Sol, with the type of people that Sol usually deals with, it would make perfect sense. Random laser tag thing. This guy could be anybody. On paper, it looks perfectly fine, and it's easy because they've got somebody that will cook the books for him. So, that makes sense. But when the brother-in-law is a DEA agent, it has to be as squeaky clean as completely possible, that it has to be believable in that situation. And I think Skylar's entirely right. The laundering the money through the car wash is a far, far more sensible and more believable thing to do. So.
Certainly. Meanwhile, Jesse begins to plot against the drug dealers who killed Combo. He buys blue meth from the gang responsible, confirming that Combo's killer works for Gus Fring. Jesse tells Walt and asks him to make a rice into exact revenge. Although Walt appears troubled by the gang's use of children, he dismisses the plan. Jesse replies he will kill them with or without his help. So this is kind of Jesse completely kind of losing focus and really being quite gung ho, which is you can understand what you can understand both of them, because Walt is sort of like, now your plan is just it's terrible, basically. Your plan's really, really not good. But Jesse is very, very revenge driven, and even though he is being hot headed here, you completely understand as to why. No, it's a good kind of conversation between two of them. Obviously, this all leads up to what's happened later as well. So we've got that going on. What do you think of their conversation?
I mean, I don't know whether Jesse's plan is as bad as Walt's making out, but it's certainly not great, and there are far more things that could potentially go wrong with it. I mean, Jesse has thought it through to a certain extent, of it being something that is, he can poison them. It's not fast acting, so it's not going to necessarily get traced back to him. So there is sort of, does make a certain amount of sense, but I mean, I can't. I can't in any world see Walt going, "Oh yeah, here you are. Here's some rice." it's just. I think there is no way that Walt was ever going to agree to that. So, I entirely understand that. And yeah, the use of children, you can tell, bothers him. But he's still kind of not convinced this is a good idea. So. Which is ironic, given what happens at the end of the episode, and how much messier that is. But it's, and I get Jesse's motivation for it. They're using kids, they kill Combo, these people have to go in his eyes. So, yeah.
Convinced Jesse is likely to do something rash, Walt visits Sol, and they plan to have Jesse, I must have killed, nope, jailed briefly to cool him down. Sol back in the episode, which is always really great to see. You wondered kind of what Walt was going to do about this, and this is what he decides to do. So how do you stop Jesse from doing this? How do you cool this down? That's the solution they come up with. Because the thing is with Jesse, because Walt can't watch him 24 hours a day, you know. I don't know. I mean, there's not really a good answer, but having him sort of like in a police cell for 24 hours, which is kind of what, or overnight, let's say, which is kind of what Walt's going for. I don't know. It's a. I don't know that there's a right or a wrong answer here necessarily. It takes him out the firing line, which is good, but it's risky. But then I suppose all of everything they pretty much do is risky. So, what do you think of what
I mean,
Walt and
I think as the decision for Walt, I think as in a suggestion from Walt, I think that's also an awful idea. Because the idea of having Jesse locked up, I mean, apart from the fact that it potentially then puts him back on the DEA radar, and gives them an opportunity to kind of go after and talk to him again. It's whatever they have him picked up for. I mean, if he's inside, there's also how will he survive in there? And I mean, there's all sorts of variables involved in something like that. And will he keep his mouth shut? And will he not cause trouble? And it's just, I mean, that's horrifically risky as well. I would argue that's possibly even riskier for the whole business than having the two dealers killed
Yeah, it's
by
the
Ryzen. I
spotlight
mean,
problem, isn't it?
I because it then gives him, I mean, I don't know what sort of criminal record Jesse's got at the moment. I mean, he is obviously known to DEA, but I don't know whether he's actually been arrested and charged with anything at this point. And if you're actually going to put him inside, I mean, arguably it could be something that he get off with, or it could be a minor offence. Because he could get put in on remand and then like released with no charge, or he could get put in and have to pay a fine for some minor offence. But that gives him a record as well. So I don't know. It seems like a terrible idea from Walt as well. I mean, I understand he's him trying to get him sort of off the street, but off the street to cool down in that way. It would make far more sense if you got Mike to basically kidnap him and shove him somewhere for a month while he cools down. I mean, something like that would make a lot more sense than.
A month might be a bit long, but yes.
Yeah, but or that would have made far more sense than trying to get the police involved to like lock him up. I mean, I think that's an equally awful idea.
True. We pause for a bit of like a nice comedic scene. Meanwhile, Hank Schrader wheels, sorry, Marie wheels Hank out of hospital after betting she can arouse him during a sponge bath. One of Breaking Bad's certainly more light-hearted, nicer scenes. We do have these. It's not all just, guns and drugs and death and meth and everything. It's not always that kind of stuff. I did quite clearly remember this scene. This is one of the ones that sort of stands out a lot more. I don't know if I remembered it was specifically in this episode, but I remembered it was from when he's in the hospital at this point. But then obviously he's in the hospital for a couple of episodes. So anyway, yeah, it's pretty great. Just it's the way Hank is so comedically convinced of like, nah, you're not gonna be able to do it. It's a waste of time. Just keep me here, and it's part of him wanting to just stay there because of, probably because of the mental state that he's in. He doesn't really want to leave this hospital, because obviously he's probably worried about, something else happening to him. I mean, we've been talking about him being run over, or not really run over, but all sorts of different injuries, let's just say, happening to him over and over and over again. Obviously, it's because of the line of work he's in, but this was a nice touch to just cool that off, I suppose, and kind of just have something nice and something funny. Quite a nice like human moment as well. and you start to see him react, and then it just cut. I love the way it just cuts as well to him just being wheeled out and him having this look on his face. It's short, it's sweet, it's great, and there's some decent little development for the two of them. So it's just cool. It's a cool little scene. What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's a great little scene between the pair of them, and yeah, the cutting in that is perfect because you don't really need to see any more of it, and it's, you know, you could just see the start of it having an effect, and then like it cuts, and he's got this grumpy look on his face, and he's kind of gone. And Marie's great in this as well. It's and Hank is kind of pushed into making that choice because and Marie's very cleverly playing him to sort of push him to agree to it and to take the bet, and you know he's absolutely confident that she's going to win, and of course she does. And I mean it's Hank needs to be out of that hospital because otherwise he's never going to actually kind of do anything and improve himself. I mean, he needs, he's just going to sit there until he gets better. That's what he's saying. But there's a fair chance that whilst he's sat around in a hospital bed, he's not going to do that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great scene between the pair of them. It's really good.
Definitely, definitely. It's also like some shows can't handle tonal balance at all. And when you've got a scene like the ending of this episode, and then you've got a scene like this in the same episode, but it doesn't feel like this flip-flop of tone, because it's just easy for these writers and people to do. I mean, that's not one of the things that puts Breaking Bad on the top shelf. That's more of a sort of basic thing. But it's still good that the show's able to kind of do that. So that's good as well. Mike makes an unannounced visit to Walt at home, and reveals he also works for Gus, who would take it as a problem if Jesse were to be jailed. Mike then tells Walt a story from his years as a cop. In which he laments over showing mercy to an alcoholic who continuously abused, sorry, continually abusive husband who subsequently killed his wife at a later point. Mike tells Walt he chose a half measure instead of killing the husband, and warns no more half measures, which ties absolutely perfectly into the title and, of course, to the end of the episode as well. Yeah, we haven't had a good scene of Mike for a while. We saw a little glimpse of him. When he was killing one of the cousins at the hospital. That was what, episode 6, 7, 5, something like that. But that was like a quick brief glimpse. Does get a bit more involved later on, doesn't he? So we'll see some more of him, which is good. And of course, I'm trying to think of the guy's name that plays him, Jonathan Banks. Does a really, really good job, and he's in Better Call Saul as well. But yeah, delivery from him is great, and it's interesting to see in these types of scenes, and lots of different characters do this to Walt, where they give Walt a speech for whatever different reason. Like Hank has done it, Skyler does it, Jesse's done it, Gus, Marie's done it a little bit. Most of the characters have sort of done it, and usually it's in a state where Walt is very much Walt, and he's kind of that. He's either got that guilty, that sort of silent guilt I described going on, or he's just absorbing information or something. And this is a bit more of one of those ones where he's just absorbing sort of what's going on and really taking in what Mike is telling him. So it's a great scene between the two of them. But yeah, it ties in perfectly to, it's a horrible story, obviously, but it ties in very, very nicely later as to what goes on as well. And then he just leaves after that. So, what do you think of Mike's scene here?
Yeah, it's a really interesting scene. It's a great speech by Jonathan Banks as well. It's really well played, and I mean, I love Mike as a character. I think he's great, and this sort of story, which really ties into what happens at the end of the episode, and you know, the idea of half measures and full measures, and that, and I mean, they do choose a half measure initially. I mean, you know, that is what the meeting ends up being. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
And clearly that was also a mistake. So, you know, yeah, it's, I mean, I don't understand why Jesse goes back on what he says as well after the events later on. But I mean, yeah, it's a really great way of setting up the end of the episode, that little speech that he gives. Yeah, I mean, I do really love that. And yeah, I'm more Mike, always more Mike.
Yeah, definitely. Jesse plants ricin in hamburgers intended for Gus's dealers, but is unable to find them at their usual location. He is stopped by Mike and Victor, who bring him into a meeting with Gus, Walt, and the two targeted dealers. After tense negotiations, Gus promises his dealers will stop using children as pawns, and Jesse reluctantly promises to keep the peace. On their way back, Walt tries to calm down the furious Jesse, who refuses to respond. He gets out and gets into his own car and drives off. Yeah, one of the best scenes of the episode, certainly. I mean, we've pointed out Gus over and over again. You know, he's pretty good, isn't he? but it's interesting the amount of, like, control Gus has as well. Just a simple kind of, I'm going to turn around, tell these two to stop using kids, and that should be the end of it. Obviously, it's not, but the way he tries to, like, there's no sort of, I mean, the thing is with Gus as well, although Jesse does sort of try it, and Gus challenges him in an interesting way, you don't really argue with a person like that. Like, if he's got his stern kind of, you don't do this, or you don't do that, what you should do is do the silent, guilty Waltz thing and sit there and accept it, I suppose. But he's just very, very, very good at doing that. Yeah, there's lots and lots of really good stuff in this scene. But yeah, Jesse meeting Gus for the first time. And it's both interesting and really good that Jesse kind of, not that he tries to see through him or anything like that, he tries to kind of just, again, because throughout basically all this episode, Jesse is very hot-headed. It's just his approach to Gus, and it makes it, rather than him just being like, oh, yes, I'll do whatever, he actually tries to challenge him a little bit, which I think is really good. I also liked as well that, because obviously he knows, you know, Jesse and Walt partners, the way I don't think he looks at Walt, I think he points at Walt and says, I have a lot of respect for this man. And mm-hmm. there's just little touches in this scene of, like, who stands where and kind of who's got the upper hand, who has respect for who. And it was quite well played out, I thought, the way that they did that. But as usual, Gus just dominates the room, which is always great to see. So, they shake their hands and they agree to keep the peace, at least for now, at least for a couple of hours. So it's very, very good stuff. Very, very good indeed. What did you think of this scene?
It is a great scene, and it shows Gus in an interesting light. It shows Jesse in an interesting light. I mean, as I said before, the thing with Jesse is he's on more of the typical sort of hero's journey of taking, you know, somebody who's bad kind of becoming good, whereas Walt's on the atypical journey of being somebody who's good who's breaking bad. So and you see the good come out in Jesse, because Jesse's, you know, yes, he's upset about Combo being killed, and that's one thing, and I think if it was just that, he could sort of get past it and would understand that, you know, yes, there was fault on both sides, Combo was selling on their turf, it happened. It's the fact that they're using children, and I like the way that Jesse challenges Gus on that, of like, you know, because despite the fact that Gus has basically said, you have one friend in this room, and if it wasn't for this man, I'd be dealing with this in a very different way. I mean, Jesse would have been dead had it not been for Walt.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's interesting that after that, Jesse still challenges Gus on it of the over the kid, because it's like they're using children. I thought you're supposed to be a businessman, an upstanding businessman, and you're letting them get away with this. And which is a fair point, and they shouldn't be using kids. They don't need to use kids. It's a, yes, it makes their job harder, but yeah, I mean, the street dealers should not be involving children in it. And I, to Jesse, for Jesse to sort of quite validly challenge him on that. And I mean, Gus relents, but I think Gus relents because he knows it's a way of keeping the peace. And arguably, it's not directly Gus's problem then. It's the problem of the dealers, of how they actually make money and deal. He's sort of above that anyway. So him just saying to the dealers, no more children, it's not really Gus's problem. He still expects the dealers to make the money. It just makes their life slightly more difficult if they can't use the kids. So it's interesting with that, because I think that Gus doesn't really have an issue with them using the kid. He just wants them to stop using the kid because it's the way that they help make life easier and smooth things out with Jesse and Walt. So it doesn't paint Gus in a great light, that really, either, because I mean, if that had been me in that situation and I was the drug overlord and I found out two of my dealers were using kids, I would be going to town on the dealers for bringing children into it, And Gus doesn't really seem to care. He's only really telling them not to use kids to smooth things out. So, yeah, that's sort of interesting in that whole exchange. And Jesse actually sort of standing up for it as well. And Jesse at that point, I think, is prepared to let it go. I mean, not happy about it, but is prepared to leave it as it is, if there's no kids involved, and let the dealers just deal. So, yeah.
Anyway, late that night, Thomas is killed, and Jesse and his girlfriend Andrea rush to the scene. He realizes the two dealers have executed Thomas, and he is no longer of value to them. During dinner with his family, Walt learns of the same news on the TV and abruptly leaves. Quite sad. Definitely quite sad. I sort of remembered some of this because I remembered the run scene because I mentioned it last week. I couldn't quite remember what caused it or what sort of led up to it. But it kicks off all this as well, which again, it just I like the way this episode sort of structures itself. It's kind of you've got these little exchanges from different characters, and then it just leads to this, ultimate boiling point, which will pour into the finale, and then obviously go into 401 and et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of the start of that, of course. It once you see all of this play out, though, your main question is, okay, what will Gus do about this? Because you know kind of what, as soon as you sort of see this bit and you see Jesse's reaction, you know what he's going to try and do straight away. And then you see the connective bit with Walt, and you know what he's going to try and do. And then we see it play out in a minute. Because I was a bit, I was slightly confused initially because they show the scene where Andrea is on the phone and she's devastated and you kind of realize what's gone on. And then Brock shows up there and Brock plays a bit of a part later into things as well. So that was an interesting little touch. But it's ultimately a build up to the end of the episode, which we will talk about in a second. What do you think of this scene though?
Yeah, I mean, it's just heartbreaking when she gets that call. And I mean, it's you sort of seen that as kind of the inevitable outcome, but you kind of, because Gus has sort of said no more kids, but he hasn't said that they can't, like, kill the kid to shut him up, which is clearly what they've obviously done. And I don't know. I mean, I do wonder, had Jesse actually made it clear to Gus that he had a, he had a sort of personal relationship with that child because it's his, girlfriend's brother. Whether they would have, Gus would have been a bit more kind of stringent just to make sure the peace was kept to say, no harm comes to that kid, rather than just
Because he is a
saying,
family man, isn't he, Gus?
yeah. And you do wonder that had, not that this is Jesse's fault,
Oh
but
no, yeah.
had Jesse actually been a bit more open about sort of, look, this is my girlfriend's kid brother, and he's involved in this, and I don't want him to be, if had he gone a bit more into it. The other two guys maybe would not have murdered him, but I mean, we are where we are. And of course, that's how Jesse's going to react because whilst he's prepared to keep the peace, the entire point of that was to protect the kid. If he couldn't get revenge for Combo, it was to protect the kid, and now the kid's dead. So, yeah, I mean, of course, Walt knew what was going to happen next. Yeah, and the sort of the dinner with the family thing, I thought was a good scene, and you got that going on as well. And then him, I mean, that was another interesting cut because you don't actually see him go, I have to go and get up and leave. You sort of they cut from him being at the dinner table, and I think he sees the news, he sort of sits down, and then there's a cut to him by the door, which is it's an interesting sort of technique that they've used with some of the cuts in this.
Yeah, certainly. Jesse watches the dealers from afar and picks some meth for the first time since rehab. I actually didn't realize that, but yeah, that's
Yeah.
true. He draws his gun and slowly approaches the two dealers, who draw their guns and prepare for a confrontation. Suddenly, Walt plows into both dealers with his car, killing one and badly injuring the other. Walt gets out of his car, picks up the injured dealer's gun, because remember, Walt's not got a gun on himself, probably, and shoots him dead. Walt then tells an utterly shocked Jesse one word: run. That's a great end to the episode. It's just
It
like
is.
you get there's a little snippet of Heisenberg there as well, and I love that. I think that's not the I mean, Heisenberg's not good, but it's very cool. Sometimes you just see like to see these characters be very cool. Yeah, I kind of remember watching this bit in 2014. And or when it, yeah, I think it was in 2014. And just the, it's just what stands out to me the most is just the way he says run, and then you just cut to the credits, you cut to the end. It's
Yeah.
a really, really great touch. Yeah, Jesse probably would have died because unless he can get two
Yeah, oh
quick shots
yeah.
off or something.
No, Jesse would definitely have died
yeah.
in that conversation. There's just no way because both of the guys were there. There were two guys with guns. They had them like cocked and they were ready to shoot. There is no way Jesse would have survived that had Walt not turned up. Absolutely no way.
Yeah, but yeah, so this is that kind of all concluded for now. Again, you get to the end of this and you think he's telling him to run. I can't remember if he actually runs or what Jesse does next. I can't really remember what anybody does next in the next episode, but I can remember what happens at the beginning of 401. It's quite sort of standout and iconic. But yeah, to me, the question from most of these parts, and through most of this, is like, what will Gus do? What will Gus do about the choices that Jesse and Walt are both making? And this is a particularly big one. Yeah, we'll see. We do have one more episode, so we'll see if we see Gus in the next one and how he responds to things. Because I'm trying to remember if I remember anything from the finale, and I don't. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, it's really, really brilliant. So there we go. Cool, that's the end of the episode. Really, really great end to it, and we'll see what happens next. In the meantime, we've got some feedback and stuff to get into. Of course, if you'd like to write into the show, let us know what you thought of this episode or any of the episodes or any of your thoughts on Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul as well, of course, or El Camino, I suppose. MethodEntertainmentTalk.org, Twitter, eTalkUK, and there's information in your show notes. Caroline writes in again, says, well, guessing that was the run moment. Yep. Curious to know if you could sense it coming up as the scene was playing out. Quite an incredible moment indeed. So, sometimes, you know, when you're going back through something and you're remembering the positioning of certain things when you're watching a scene, like, okay, that car was there, the person walks from this part to here. And I remembered that Walt ran someone over. Jesse was then shocked, and then Walt tells him to run. I can't remember the exact positioning of things, but because when it first, not back in season two or whenever Combo died, not then, but the bits where they start, where they started to go to this corner, I just remembered something happening on the corner. And then for me, it was when Jesse starts pulling his gun out, and I thought, okay, if it's not this bit, when would he possibly do this next? Because I can't remember after this if they go back to this corner. Obviously, you know, he probably wouldn't want to now. So I started figuring out that, yeah, it was probably this part, because I couldn't remember where else it would possibly fit in. So, very, very good. Did you remember this, like, particular, that line or the moment at all? Or
honestly, I really didn't. My memories, because it's been so long since I watched this. I mean, when did it air? 2010 originally, I think. So it's been a long time. I've only actually, I think, watched these through once, maybe twice, so it's been a very, very long time since I've actually seen it. I hadn't remembered this. I mean, obviously, I know that at some point Walt and Gus aren't as friendly as they are, you know, or they have been for majority of the season, so I know that there is a falling out at some point, but I kind of forgotten what is the start of that, and this is the kind of, I think, start of that journey, really, you know. And it's also I think this is sort of the start of Walt really accelerating down that slippery slope of becoming.
Yeah, it's another moment. Yeah,
it is another moment. We've seen bits and pieces, because up until this point he's been treating it like, to a certain extent, he's been treating it like a job. You know, he's getting paid to turn up, cook meth, go home. You know, that's how he's been treating it. And this is the kind of tipping point or the very start of that kind of tipping point into him actually kind of becoming the drug overlord that he eventually becomes. And so, yeah, this is, I think this is really the sort of acceleration. I mean, he's already kind of started there, but this is the real acceleration, I think, of him down that slope. So, yeah, I'd not entirely remembered this. And I know the name of the next episode is Full Measure. So, but I honestly can't quite remember where we end up with the next episode. So, yeah.
Cool. Beth writes in, says, I've written in to a few of your shows before, but it's been a while. Welcome back. Just wanted to say, the Hank and Marie scene was genuinely funny. It was nice to have a small splash of comedy from Hank's side of the story. I think we can all pretty much agree with that.
Yeah,
it's one that's more memorable as well, which is quite good. But you could, at least physically, you could certainly argue that Hank goes through the most on this show. I mean, I would put that out as a, I would certainly say that. I mean, the others go through some stuff, and obviously Walt's going through his transformation and everything, but in terms of, like, physically getting injured over and over again from different confrontations, and it's not because Hank is, like, bad at his job or something, it's just part of what he does. You know, you'll hear about police or, you know, whatever, getting injured and stuff like that. When you're out on the front lines like that, These things do tend to happen, but the good thing about it wasn't sort of like an overdrawn scene. It wasn't too. It was like perfectly done. It wasn't too short. It wasn't too long. As you say, the cut that they make is really nicely timed. It puts a little, just a little smile on your face before all hell is about to break loose later on. So it's really good. Anything else on the Hank scene?
No, I mean, I think we've kind of covered that as much as we can. It's yeah, no, it's just a really lovely little scene that is really fun and it's funny.
Yeah, definitely. Josh writes in and says, have you heard about the other Breaking Bad spin-off returning next week that also has the initials BB on ITV? I expect full coverage from the two of you on Big Brother on ITV. Joking, of course, but I'd love to ask a fun question. How would you compare the two? Well, they're leagues apart in terms of quality. Yeah, I mean, obviously they're completely different genres of TV. Breaking Bad's never been cancelled before, and Big Brother's been cancelled twice. Great, it was on Channel 4 for quite a long time, and then why was it they got cancelled? But bad ratings or something, and then they tried it with Channel 5. That was initially on for, what was that, like 3 years?
I don't know. I try to ignore it as much as I possibly can. I am bitterly disappointed in ITV for the fact that they resurrect this zombie show for the fourth time or whatever it is. I just, yeah.
The thing is, though, when you look at Channel 4, Channel 5, I mean, I don't really know what goes on with Channel 5. They're probably the channel I've paid the least amount of attention to, just because they've got all these like just weird shows and stuff. And Channel 4 has changed, but I certainly wouldn't say it's bad. It's more just that sort of split off into E4 and Channel 4. But it kind of fits more on ITV, because if you do look at ITV's library, they do
It's
have a
true.
lot more of those reality stuff, and they do also have Love Island, which makes it to me, not that I want it on TV at all, because I think it's a waste of everybody's time, but it makes more sense being put on there. It's just going to be a fun guess as to see how long it lasts. But again, there's the thing is with these reality shows, one of the reasons they've started popping up more in the last 5, 10 years, because it didn't used to be as many of them, is they are very cheap to make. You, for the most part, you are just putting people on camera to argue with each other. That's pretty much that. I mean, yeah, there's within some of these other types of shows, there is like half scripted bits and pieces, but it's not like you've got a Breaking Bad style writer's room where you're having to carefully craft a story and stuff. But yeah, in terms of comparing the two at all, they're completely leagues apart. And yeah, it's just I know we've talked about this a few times. The way I kind of, because even if you like the idea of Big Brother or whatever, it's just, and we've talked about this before, when it just comes to just dramatic, because it's like, fun quiz shows and stuff like that. Like there is other, and there's like late night talk shows. It's not just all like, oh, the only good thing on TV is scripted dramas. There's a lot of like really good comedy panel shows and that kind of stuff. But again, those aren't remotely similar to these types of things. There's so past, present, and future, so much good TV, and even the just the good shows that are still really worth sticking on. There's just way too many of those. Like whether you're catching up on an old show or you're catching up on the dozens of new things that come out all the time, even with, writer strike delaying things and then COVID 3 years ago delaying things, even then there were still just so many things on TV. And when you've got shows like this and Better Call Saul and Game of Thrones sitting around, there's just way too much of that to enjoy. And even, me, you, and all the other Geek Town people and whatnot. Even us, we don't always get around to the stuff that we want to watch. There's still, shows that I'm interested to get to that I'll just have to do it when other stuff goes off the air. So for, I guess, people like us that don't really consider, why would we consider watching those things when there's just too much of this other stuff we've not even got to yet? And look, there is like good stuff on ITV. They've picked up like a couple of little HBO shows, which is surprising. They picked up that Is it Love and Death or something? The Elizabeth Olsen
Yes.
show. I keep meaning to watch it, but the problem is I don't click on ITV unless it's like unless they've got an FA Cup game or unless they've got football on there or something. I just don't click on ITV. So I'm really curious to get to that. And they've got, I think there's like two other HBO shows that they've got. I can't remember which ones they are. And was there a show that you mentioned this week on Geek Town that ITV have picked up from somewhere?
Yes,
Not
there
Orphan Black. It was one
was.
that you mentioned
Oh, I
before that in the
didn't.
podcast.
Orphan Black Echoes. It was.
Was it that
Yeah, I
one?
think. Yeah, it was Orphan Black Echoes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not out yet, but yes, they have picked that up. But no, I mean, ITVX and ITV, the streaming side of it, does have some great things on it. I mean, there's original dramas like Long Shadow. They've got a new one called Payback on there. There's Irvin Walsh's Crime. There is, there's comedies on there like Fisk. There's, as well as all the catch-up stuff, there's stuff for kids on there. There's Safe House. There's Malpractice. There's loads of kind of catch-up bits and pieces on there, as well as new originals like you mentioned, Love and Death, which they've picked up from the US, and mentioned there they've picked up Orphan Black Echoes, which isn't out yet, but it's coming soon,
Yeah.
and they've also picked up Big Brother, which I mean, yes, I joke. I am disappointed in them for actually picking it up, but and because every time I think it's dead, it rises like some horrific zombie. But at least it's being kind of buried away on ITV, and I can just ignore it. And I mean, I just to say, there is so much other stuff out there to watch that. Whether that's kind of decent comedy or decent drama or panel shows or late night things, or there is a lot of stuff out there which is just much better and better quality than some of this reality trash. And I know some people enjoy it, and that's fine if that's what you want to watch, I guess, but I'd rather spend my time on something more interesting, you know?
Yeah, certainly. It's also like, okay, if ITV gets rid of it, is it going to be BBC's turn next? Like,
Yeah, I would be I would have an issue if BBC picked it up, given that's licensed payer funded, and
true,
that is
true.
not what the license fee should be used on.
No. Anyway, we will let it be with what it's gonna be, so it'll do what it's gonna do. Anyway, we have an exciting season finale next week, season 3, episode 13, and then we'll decide what to do and stuff after that. But yeah, lots of stuff to listen to as well, of course, on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, May Night, a podcast. Check out what we do over there. Remember as well, of course, after May Night, I play Brentford tomorrow. There is an annoying international break. So there's that as well, and we return in 2 weeks after that. But if you want to support Entertainment Talk and the podcast in other ways, of course you can listen to more episodes. There is quite a few of them. Just check out the different menus and all that kind of stuff, so you can do that as well. You can also use word of mouth, social media, let other people know about what we're doing, where they can find it. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, every podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news over on geektown.co.uk and Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays. David, that's yours. What's new over there?
There's a lot of stuff on the front of the website on geektown.co.uk. We've had a lot of first look photos released yesterday. There was like three shows that released first look photos of one of them being the Apple TV show Masters of the Air, which is a the third series in the sort of Band of Brothers Pacific, those huge TV shows. There's a third one. They've done sort of land, sea, and then this is the air one. And they've actually got an air date for it. That's been like in development since about 2010, I think, that
Oh,
show.
wow.
So when it initially was kind of, put on the cards. But yeah, so that's finally getting release date in January. So we've got a bit more about that and some background information. There's a Predate on E4. premiere date on E4 for My Adventures with Superman. They've actually announced that they've got that and they're putting it on air. I mean, they're doing it at a stupid time, but, you know, junk scheduling at E4. Geek Town Radio this week, we have got reviews of Blue Beetle, because that is now out on home release. Gen V, because that was released this week. Daryl talks a bit about Wheel of Time. And Harlan Coben's Shelter as well. So we've got reviews of those. We talk a bit about Letterkenny and Starfield and Black Mirror and a whole bunch of other things as well. So that is all on Geek Town Radio 399. That is. This is the 400th episode, which will be out next week. So tune in for that.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, very, very good. You also reminded me as well when you mentioned Black Mirror. Because, you know, sometimes when you think, is there that one or two shows that have come out that I've just, like, forgotten about? And then I remembered that Black Mirror was out as well. So, which has got Aaron Paul in one of the episodes, I believe.
It has, yes.
So, if you want to see more of Aaron Paul, you can check that out as well. Cool, so that's geektown.co.uk and Geek Town Radio Tuesday. Look out for, of course, episode 400 soon. So check that out. For other people, you can find Bex over on Twitch and other platforms, Trista, B-Y-T-E-S, for all of her different streams and work and whatnot, so go and support what she's doing. Me over on Twitch at eTalkUK and YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week for the season finale. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.